It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light. God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street?
He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Hey, good Sunday, everybody. Good Lord's Day. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. I've been calling this nation to pray for many, many years. And today, my pastor, Bob Nichols, is on, and he's talking about what's happening in our nation today. A man that has been in the ministry over 60 years, pastored one church in Fort Worth over 51 years now. And we're going to be talking about this nation. It's going to be a word to pastors, a word to churches. And so good to have you listening in. I would like to welcome churches all across America. We now have over 1,000 churches that are represented on BPN Network. And we just, before I do that, Father God, we just come boldly into your presence declaring, God, you are our Father. And we are your sons and daughters in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you'll anoint this broadcast today. Your will, plan, and purpose be done in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to welcome New Hope Church in Taft, California. I want to welcome the Church of God in Stockton, California, as well as the Father's House in Stockton. We want to welcome Spread God's Word, Foursquare Church, San Francisco, California, as well as the Conference Baptist Church, Evergreen, Colorado. We want to welcome Vivid Life Church in DeLand, Florida, and also Outreach Church And in Fort Myers, Florida, we want to welcome the Christian Family Chapel in Jacksonville, Florida. We want to welcome Buckhead Community Church, Atlanta, Georgia, and Boynton Baptist in Chickamauga, Georgia, as well as churches all across America. We're thankful to have you listening in and praying with us here on this Sunday and this Lord's Day. We speak a blessing right now over every pastor and leader, church leader that's ministering today. We pray that God would anoint you, the Holy Spirit would come and be your guide today, that souls will be saved, lives will be touched and changed and transformed in church services all across America. So thank you for being a part of Breakout Prayer Network. So thankful to have you. If your church is not represented, you can go to letsprayamerica.com and sign up, sign your church up so that you can be represented here on the Breakout Prayer Network. Now, we've got Pastor Bob Nichols on the phone, and we're going to talk to him, and I know that you're going to be blessed as he shares with us today. Okay, it's good to have on BPN Radio today a longtime friend of mine and my pastor for many years, the pastor of a great church in Fort Worth, Texas, Calvary Cathedral International, Pastor Bob Nichols. He's been on several times before, and it is so good to have him on today. Pastor Bob Nichols, welcome to BPN Radio. Good to have you.
Good to be with you today, Dale, and just looking forward to this time and sharing many things that are on my heart. It's an exciting hour. It's the worst of times, but it's the best of times.
Absolutely. And you have been the pastor of Calvary Cathedral for how long?
51 years.
51.
We started at Easter in 1964.
51 years.
About two, three, or four months over 51 years.
It's amazing what God has done since you and your wife Joy and your daughter Susan went to planted a new church there in 1964, April of 1964. God's done some amazing things there at Calvary Cathedral, and it's been my privilege and my honor to have been in your life since 1988. We met on a missions trip to the nation of Haiti, and I'm so thankful for what you have planted and sown into Gene and I over these years and the many opportunities I've had to preach at Calvary Cathedral. And there's been some incredible things happening at the church, and we're going to talk about in just a few moments. We're going to talk about what is happening, what's going on, because there's a lot of things in the news and some things that pastors aren't even addressing. But first of all, before we get into those conversations and what you see from your perspective as a man's been in ministry over 60 years now, just talk a little bit about all the souls that are being won at Calvary Cathedral. I believe since September 2012, you guys have been going out 5 days a week?
That's right, September the 20th, 2012. And I believe that every pastor certainly would understand what I'm saying. Anytime I've had a move of God, something just kept building up in me. And the intensity of it, the result of it was that I just cried out to God. And I know there's others crying out to God, too. But I know in 93, when the elections took place and we didn't realize what a disaster we had voted into the White House at that time, the despicable things that even happened in the Oval Office, let's don't even go there. But my heart was just crying out. I said, God, we must have revival in this nation. And God sent the greatest revival that I have ever experienced in all my years, 51 years of pastoring, actually 61 years of ministry now, I've never seen anything supersede what God did in 93. Hundreds and hundreds of souls were saved, and people came, and we saw lives changed. We two services daily, 4 or 5 hours in the morning, come back for 4 or 5 hours at night. And we baptized, I don't know, close to 2,000 people out of that. It was just awesome. But there's been a cry in my heart. I said that to lay a foundation for this. There's a cry in my heart right now. Benjamin Yahu, after Netanyahu, after 9/11, and I think many people probably have either forgotten it or haven't heard it, he said, "We have received a wake-up call from hell. Now the question is simple. Do we rally to defeat this evil while there is still time, or do we press the collective snooze button and go back to business as usual? The time for action is now. Today the terrorists have the will to destroy us, but they do not have the power." And of course, the power that holds that back is believers like all of us. We're salt and we are light.
Yeah.
And I've preached three messages in a row, very similar messages, but each one building on the other. The first Sunday after the Supreme Court gave us the tremendous wake-up call from hell on their latest decision, I preached on America at the crossroads. And after much more prayer, God spoke to my heart, and he said, "Tell the people there is hope at the crossroads. America's ripe for the judgment of God. There's no doubt about that. But the problem is, or the good problem is, we're still here, yeah. And we are salt, and we are light."
Yeah.
And if there was ever a time for pastors, ministers, field, all fivefold ministries to just wake up,
yeah.
We've received a wake-up call from hell greater than 9/11. I mean, 9/11, as tragic as it was a Sunday school picnic compared to what the Supreme Court did to us again, as we systematically have taken God out of our no word of God. We're after the Ten Commandments, of course, as you know. Abortion approaching, or is it over 60 million? See, you can even make the statement 60 million. Does it really shock us? Does it really shock us? Does it really shock me?
Right.
I asked our people the other night, are we desensitized? We're being dumbed down. Even mm-hmm. the church. Even
yeah.
the church. Well, that's just the way it is, and so just put your head back down. There's nothing we can do about it. Oh, yes, there is.
Yes,
yes there is.
Yes.
And so I say from my heart, we've received a greater wake-up call from hell out of the Supreme Court than, you know, 9/11. And there's several scriptures that are on my heart. You want me just to go ahead and share
them? Sure, that'll be fine.
America is at the crossroads. There's no doubt about it. You know, Billy Graham made the statement several years ago, if God doesn't judge America, I forget what is...
You have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, there you go. But there is hope at America's crossroads. We're still here. We are still here. And the ministry, God called men and women of God lifting their voices as prophets of old, are still the hope of this generation and of our time.
Mm-hmm.
We know one day it's all over. We know that. The judgment of God is coming, and I plan on being on the first load out of here. Yeah, I pray to God that my theology is correct on that.
Yeah.
But God called men and women and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and us individually, Brother Dale, we're standing in the hedge and making up the gap. I ministered last Wednesday night on, Pray for America, and that it's time to call upon God and save a nation,
right.
Literally.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 22 said, God, I sought for a man, couldn't find one. Psalms 11:4 said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Romans 13 says it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. And what should happen in this day in which we live? Well, we're to pray, we're to preach, we're to witness, we're to win and bring them in. So I believe starting September the 20th, we started in a very positive way, powerful way, to literally witness, win, and bring them in. Altar calls drastically increased in our church. We give altar calls in every service. Now, that's one thing, if I don't make another point here today, I'd like to just challenge every pastor in every church, start giving altar calls. Yeah. You say, well, nobody comes. But you miss the point. One Wednesday night, we gave, we don't do this all the time. It's usually one altar call. One Wednesday night, we gave two altar calls before I preached, two altar calls after I preached. A woman came down the aisle that a lady in our church had been praying for her sister who was on drugs and alcohol. She's about 48 years old. And she just screamed when she saw her. She couldn't believe it. On a Wednesday, sleepy Wednesday night, one soul got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 weeks later, she went to be with Jesus, not on drugs, but her body was just worn out from sin.
Yeah.
See, that one soul was worth that whole Wednesday night service.
Absolutely.
If you don't give altar calls, if you don't give altar calls, you'll never see anyone come to the Lord. Our big altar call time is on Sunday morning. Because that's when, you know, that's when you have your larger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do? Well, that's one of the things we can do. I'd encourage people to read Luke 14. It just lays it out so simple that you have to have outside help to misunderstand that you go out to the highways, the hedges, the streets, the lanes, and compel them to come in. One Baptist preacher said that means don't come back without them. Do something.
Yeah.
Missionary evangelist Wayne Meyer said, do something lest you do nothing.
Right.
Do something lest you do nothing. And so as of this present time, we have 86,468 people in the services, the majority of it being outside the church, of course, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Wow.
We have had 7,249, that's as of last Saturday. These are actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Harvesters go out. Sometimes it's 4 a week, sometimes it's 10 a week. These are soul-winning machines, man.
Yeah.
And we use a script for so much of what we do, and anyone could just check us out at calvarycathedral.org, calvarycathedral.org for more information. To be honest with you, I was a chief skeptic. I thought you can't just read a script or read a little track and get anybody saved. You know, you got to blood and thunder or put your arm around them or, you know, there's got to be some soul die there for you to win somebody to Jesus. But we just began to challenge the people. And the soul winners say it's the easiest thing they've ever done in their life is to win people to Jesus, because people are frustrated there.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
There is no good news on the news media. I read the front page if I have enough courage. And I mean, it's murders, it's rape, it's political lies, it's innuendo. It's crazy, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm going somewhere with all of this. I don't know where it's going, and I don't know what I can do. I laid my life, my everything on the line at the beginning of this administration, warning people, and there were a lot of people got offended. And unfortunately, it was in a time when I had a lot of disloyalty in my own camp. Thank God that's been purged, and we're going forward now. But, you know, as you look at where we are today, you say, well, I'm just one pastor. This is just one church. There are thousands of churches in America, thousands of voices. I don't have the capability through a mailing list of reaching millions of people like some wonderful major ministries do. But God said, you do what I've called you to do. And that's exactly what God said to Jonah. You know, Jonah could have said, "Well, I'm not a big minister. I have a proven ministry. I have a good ministry. I have a ministry that has lots of fruit, but it's just not as large as some of the ministries we see on television and radio and so on." But you know, Jonah was just one man, Dale. He was just one man.
Yeah.
Jonah was just one man.
That's
but
right.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And the four chapters of Jonah have exploded in my spirit. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Praise the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. But Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. I mean, word for word in Jonah, it's like God just gave us the script for where we all are today.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah got the word, but Jonah fled from the presence of God. What's the average church up to today? Less and less time for praise and worship, less and less time for church. Give God 30 minutes, excuse us if we take an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being mean or ugly spirited, but we can sit and watch ball games for 4 and 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, we can do pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But Jonah, when you flee from the presence of the Lord, our churches, by and large, have fled from the presence of the Lord. Just singing great choruses is not the presence of the Lord.
That's right.
Just preaching or teaching a lesson or a message is not necessarily the presence of the Lord.
Right.
But Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. And guess what? You can always find a ship going your way for a while. He found a ship. And when you flee from the presence of God, you're going to pay a price. He paid the price to get on that ship.
Yeah.
But now, wait a minute, Dale. The problem is a killer storm came up. Look around us. We are in the midst of a killer storm. If you can't see the signs of the times,
that's right.
That surely Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
Something is terribly wrong.
Yeah.
A killer storm's taking place. But guess what? The only place they could find the clergy was at the bottom of the ship, sound asleep. They had enough God discernment to search out that there was a problem on the ship, and they found Jonah, the clergy, at the bottom of the ship, asleep.
Yeah.
Romans 13 said it's high time to awake out of sleep.
Yeah. He was asleep while Jonah the storm was going.
Yeah, yeah. And so many are asleep today. Because, like, well, what can we do about it? Well, you know, we've had abortion, and we've gotten mad about this, and we've marched, and we've protested. Listen, we can't be dumb dogs that can't bark. We've got to open our mouth. Jonah
right.
ran from the presence of
That's
the
right.
Lord, and Jonah went down and paid the price and went to sleep. In the midst of a killer storm, the clergy was asleep. I want to make that point very strong.
Yeah.
In the midst of a killer storm, America is in the midst of a killer storm today.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
we're
the
in
worst of times, but it's the best of times.
That's right.
Never has the opportunity been greater.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice, here's what God opened to my understanding. To me, it's always been a nice Sunday school story, and the big fish and the reluctant prophet. And, you know, it all had a happy ending, and Nineveh repented. But notice, when Jonah ran from speaking the word that God called him to speak, and I appreciate that you speaking the word that God has placed in your heart. I'm doing my best to speak the word that God's placed in my heart, all right?
Yeah.
The captain of the ship got it. The captain of the ship got it and searched the boat until he found the problem, and it was a sleeping clergy.
Mm.
The clergy was just the captain got it.
Yeah.
The sailors on the ship got it, and they started preaching back to Jonah. The people of Nineveh got it, and the city repented. The whole city.
Mm-hmm.
Without social media, no radio, no television, no Facebook, whatever we have today, the people of Nineveh got it and repented. The king on the throne got it and came off his throne in sackcloth and ashes and repented unto God and said, maybe God will have mercy on us for all of our sin. It's all here in Jonah, 1, 2, 3, 4 chapters.
Yeah.
The clergy was the problem.
Uh-huh.
And to show you how powerful even a hesitant word is, we know what Jonah's attitude was, because the word of the Lord came to him the second time.
That's right.
And you know, if you're in the belly of a whale, I guess That got his attention.
Yeah.
What is it going to take to get our attention?
Right.
What is it going to take to get our attention?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not, my heart's just crying out to God. We have a purpose in this earth, then. We have a purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose.
That's
All
right.
the fivefold ministry has a purpose.
That's right.
If there was ever a time for the church to be the church, it's today.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the wake-up calls that hit me right after Sunday, I don't listen to much talk radio. It gets my blood pressure up too high. They do a great job in exposing what is wrong with our nation, but I don't spend a whole lot of time there. However, I do appreciate the mission of these true people that give accurate information.
Right.
But as I heard talk radio pleading with ministers, and they called names of ministers, they called names of churches.
Wow.
I was shocked.
Wow.
I was shocked, man.
Wow.
Right here on WBAP. I thought, my Lord, that's bold.
Uh-huh.
And so these people have not posted anything about the Supreme Court decision. And here they affect, God knows, thousands, maybe even millions of people's lives.
Uh-huh.
And then within a few hours, why, some begin to feebly report. I mean, it wasn't much. It's kind of like, how's your mama name is, you know. We ought to love everybody. Well, that loving everybody is not the problem.
That's right.
Homosexuals are welcome in my church, and we will love them and preach to them. And we've proven that over the years, although that is diabolically opposed to my understanding of the Word of God and the way of life. So love's not the problem. The problem is we've got a sin problem in America.
Yeah.
And we have a high court now that has shaken its fist in the face of God one more time. And what is the hope at the crossroads? Dale, you are the hope. I am the hope. Every God-called man and woman of God is the hope. Jonah, even though he was a shaky gun, though he is a reluctant prophet, he did go and just feebly gave the message. Or maybe fervently for a day or so. Who knows? But out of that, the whole city repented.
Mm-hmm.
And the king on the throne repented. And then, now wait a minute, but where do we still find the clergy? Up on a hill, pouting and sulking like a kid. I don't believe in all that revival stuff. I don't believe in that emotionalism. No, no. You know, we're deep. How deep can you go before you
right.
win another soul?
Right.
How deep are you going to have to be before you can tell somebody that Jesus saves? I believe in discipleship, but you got to get people saved. You got to catch a fish before you can clean him.
Absolutely.
And that's just
Yeah.
So as I look at the story of Jonah, and I pray that my heart comes through on this, I am stirred to my toenails. As I look at Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word of the Lord has come to all of us. All of us basically know what the Word of God's all about. We know what salvation is all about. We have some understanding of revival, some more, some less. We have an understanding that Jesus is Lord, and faith is wonderful, and we all have that faith as believers. But what are we doing with what God has imparted to us?
And
that's the cry of my heart. Look at Jonah. Everybody got it but the clergy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got it but the clergy.
Yeah.
Everybody got it but the clergy.
Yeah.
My God have mercy.
I know.
So I'm getting up a little earlier. I'm crying out to God. I'm preaching stronger. Hopefully I'm preaching stronger mm-hmm. than I've preached before.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think, well, I'm just one. What difference do I make? Well, first of all, when you obey God, you make a big difference. You look at the Apostle Paul, all the time he could say, well, I'm just one. I'm here in jail most of the time. I'm really not free to get out and do all the things I feel in my heart to do. But look at the Word of God he gave us, and look at the revelation knowledge that came through the
right.
Apostle Paul
right.
and others, of course, too.
Yeah.
So America deserves and is destined for judgment. We all know that, but we're still here, and we are salt. And we are light. You know, salt doesn't stop meat from ruining, but salt prolongs the life of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that shows up darkness like light. Even a little match in the midst of the night
That's right.
will be a light.
That's right.
But
that's right.
But let's go. Do I have a few more minutes here?
Yeah. I just want to remind our those that are praying with us here on BPN Radio that I have as my guest today, Pastor Bob Nichols, who for over 51 years has been the senior pastor, lead pastor at Calvary Cathedral International, Fort Worth, Texas, and is my pastor. And we've been in a relationship since 1988. And we're talking about the condition of our nation, talking about the soul-winning effort that has been going on at Calvary Cathedral since September 2012. And I was around when that announcement was made. And, you know, you think, well, how long is people going to come and win souls? But for 5 days a week now, for almost 3 years, people have been going out of Calvary Cathedral. Over 86,000 people have been won to Jesus. And I know there's a lot of people really skeptical of that when you say that, but you have the record of that. People being won to Jesus. Of course, not everybody comes to the church, but we, you know, the Bible says that we are to go out and into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, win them with the message. And of course, I know that there, Pastor Bob Nichols at Calvary Cathedral, that once you get something started, you don't want to quit. And I know that I was a part of the power tower, the prayer tower, there that
yes,
you've been praying now for over 20 years, and it's still going. Of over 800,000 prayer requests have came in, and so you have made a major impact upon this nation, the nations of the world, and you are continuing. And I believe that your greatest time of ministry is yet ahead, even though you've been the senior pastor there for over 51 years. And I know that you are being challenged. I'm being challenged. The Holy Spirit told me several months ago to go on internet radio and lead prayer 24 hours a day. And I know that's not possible in the natural, but in the supernatural, it's very possible. And so that's what I'm doing. And of course, you've been a tremendous encouragement to me along these lines. So here we are in at this point in time, and America's in trouble. I really like the words you're sharing concerning Jonah, and you know the message that Jonah had was repentance. And there are so many pastors and churches, they don't want to say that. They don't want to call people to repentance, especially the people that are a part of the extreme grace movement. I mean, it's like, you know, you're everything is okay. And, you know, I believe that, you know, I believe in the grace. We believe in the grace. You might just talk about that. We believe in grace, but the extreme grace movement is no longer calling for a spiritual awakening. They're not calling for revival. And I just think that the church, by and large, is in jeopardy. And the thing that we have to realize is that if we remain silent, that's what Jonah, as you were talking about, Jonah, he was just silent. He was asleep. He refused to take a stand. He refused to call a city to repentance. Once he called them, they responded, and the whole thing was turned around. But, you know, I just sense, Pastor, that the extreme grace movement is keeping their congregation while silent, while they remain silent. So can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, let me address that, and let me say this before I go any further. I'm a pastor. I'm a realist, and I want truth, and I want things to be right. Let me just touch on this witnessing thing one more time. When I gave you the figure a while ago of, what was it, I had it here in my notes,
86,000.
Anyone who has any God at all in them has given to missions through the years. I don't think there's anyone who is born again who at some time has not given to a missionary offering, or gives on a regular basis to a missionary offering, or helps support missionaries through an organization, or, you know, some connection they have. Now, the next thing I want to say is this. You'll never see 99% of the fruit that comes out of your missionary giving. You don't know those people on a foreign field. And I'm going to make another bold statement. We've learned the hard way, and we corrected that several years ago. Don't you ever send money somewhere that you don't know where it's going. I don't believe everybody's story. Because there are people out there that have literally stolen a few thousand dollars a few years ago with some very false stories, you know. Yeah. I know where your money is going. All right, but no, all that being said is this. You say, well, I don't believe in that 86,000. I just think that's not right. Listen to me. I had run pastor a church, and we count. These are not figures, darts thrown at the board. In the final day, when everything is judged and everything is sorted out, I'd rather be a church that told 86,000 people the plan of salvation, and they prayed with them. You say, well, how do you know they're saved? And I say, well, how do I know you're saved with an attitude like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I'd rather pastor a church that had told 86,000 people about Jesus Christ, the Roman road. We're very strongly there on that, too, than a church that says, well, you know, you just never know, and a lot of these people, they don't really mean it, and they're not sincere, and we just don't know about all this, so we're not going to give altar calls, and we're not going to go out on the streets, and we're not going to... Do you follow my analogy there?
Yeah, I do.
Jesus, you know, two-thirds of God's name is go. Go.
That's right.
And that's what God told Jonah to do. Go, arise, and go.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't, and then he did. And then he got all offended about that.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that about the number. Only God knows. Let's say half of those people are born again. Hey, that's not a bad 3 years' work.
That's right.
You know, you get 40,000 people saved. That's mm-hmm. not a bad day's work. And to show you, you know, who are we? We're little judges. We were on the streets. Hispanic lady's there. She can't quite understand English. Just stuttering a little bit. Happened to have a Spanish tract, salvation tract.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it to her. She read the tract, began to weep, and began to pray in Spanish. She led herself to Jesus. Now, the soul winners go down the street three or four blocks, and it's about 2 hours before they come back.
Uh-huh.
When they come back, the woman who just... Oh, Lord God, I'm sorry, man. The woman who had just led herself to Jesus now has a crowd of Hispanics around her, and she's leading them to Jesus.
Oh, wow. Praise God.
If our wonderful soul winners had not gone on the streets, none of that would have happened.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
And they don't stop with somebody at the door. They say, is anyone else in the house? Oh, yeah, well, my mother, my auntie, you know, my... Well, would you call them in? We have good news for all of you.
Yeah.
And so instead of one at the door, you get five or six or seven inside the house.
Yeah.
And inside the house, lead every one of them to Jesus Christ as
mm-hmm.
personal Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, man, okay, I've got to get away from that.
That's awesome. Awesome.
I'm about to explode in this prayer room of mine here at the home. But... you know, the thing about grace, and I pray that everyone listens very closely to me. A few years ago, you know, we were into luck and hoping and a praying and, you know, a screaming mm-hmm. and a shouting and mm-hmm. a jumping and a running.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God the true message of faith began to be preached. God opened to our hearts the message of Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, which was simply the word of God, that without faith it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
And a faith understanding of who we are and what we have in Christ, and preaching and teaching that to people, that you don't backslide 80 times a day, that God is able to keep what he saves.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for the true faith message in him, of him, in whom, all the wonderful in him scriptures. Now, but you know, that message was followed, and even is followed until this day. Everybody wants prosperity. I haven't met a even people that fight prosperity. They want a check when they preach.
Yeah, that's true.
I had one call me at 7 o'clock in the morning. The next morning, we hadn't even had time to count it yet. They wanted to come by and pick up their check at 7 o'clock. Yet they didn't believe in prosperity. Excuse me. All right, let's move on here.
Yeah.
But here's what I see the devil doing. Grace, dear Lord, none of us are going to make it without grace. None of us could make it without grace. I mean, it's a given. And so now Satan, as he fought faith, the true faith message, is trying to pervert the grace message.
Yeah.
And there's a simple guideline that God opened to me. And I thank God for the understanding that grace provides, but faith obtains.
Yeah, why don't you say that? Why don't you say that again?
Grace provides everything that God has, from salvation to name it, if it's in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Grace provides. The provision's already made. It's on the shelves of God. Finished work of Calvary. But faith obtains. Faith reaches out and gets a grip on that. You know, we sing a song, have faith in God, have faith mm-hmm. in God. Only believe.
Yeah.
But let's see it big, but keep it simple. You see, grace provides. Mm-hmm. There'd be nothing to go after if it were not for grace, the grace of God. Read Titus 2. It'll teach you something. But faith obtains. And then, of course, the bottom line is there are things that we don't do and things we do because we please God, and we love God. Dale, let me get on something. How much time do I have left?
No, go ahead. You've got some more time.
I heard a man of God, and I thank God for every evangelical voice on the radio, but I heard him the other day, and, you know, some people kind of go overboard on this sovereignty of God, you know. Whatever's going to be is going to be, even if it never is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you talk about extreme, there's some extreme sovereignty of God stuff out there, too.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He said, you know, I believe in the sovereignty of God. But he said, when I get to the story of Jonah, I realize that sometimes it's not always the way we think it is. Because, well, look at Abraham. You look at Abraham. As wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah was, Dale, Abraham interceded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I'm calling for with ministries and our church and our ministries.
Yeah.
Abraham interceded down to the number of 10. If God could have found 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared, right?
That's correct. That's true.
They could have been spared from the judgment of God. And the only way I can look at that is that God would save them another way, and they could repent like the city of Nineveh repented, as wicked as that sin is. All right. Abraham interceded, and God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. God went to the trouble to come down from heaven to check it out.
Yeah.
God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah because of Abraham's intercession,
yeah.
But he couldn't even find 10.
Yeah.
All right. That's one illustration. Let's go to Moses. The children of Israel, you know, you talk about stiff-necked and hard-headed. You read through the Old Testament, good king, good kingdom, bad king, bad
uh-huh.
kingdom. Here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, a king comes in and he does that which is right in the sight of God, and the whole nation follows him in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got another king that comes in, maybe it's his son or his nephew or somebody completely different, and he leads the whole nation away from God, and that's... we're seeing too much of that today. And so God came to Moses, and God said, I've had it with Israel, Moses. I've had it. I just want to tell you about it. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to raise up a people unto you, Moses. It'll be the Moses, God's special friend and survivor of the Holocaust of Earth.
Yeah.
You'll have your own magazine. You'll have your own evangelical association.
Uh-huh.
Moses, you'll be the head prophet, apostle, prophet
yeah.
of this new move of God. Dale, you know what Moses said? Oh, what a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
You should know God. If you're going to wipe them out, wipe me out. Wipe me out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world will say you brought them out, but
yeah.
you can't bring them in. You didn't have the power to bring them in. Again, mm-hmm. intercession overrules. Do you see yeah. what I'm talking about
Absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Intercession overrules. One
yeah.
more. I've already gone into it in depth, and that's Jonah. God said, Nineveh will be destroyed in 40 days. Go tell them. God's already said it. It's in the book. It's right here in my Bible and your Bible.
That's right.
But here's the message. You go tell them. Well, when he, even on his way to tell them, the captain of the ship believed, the sailors believed, the city of Nineveh believed, and the king believed. They got it. They all got it but Jonah. They all got it but Jonah.
Yeah.
And because he preached what God called him to preach, God spared the entire city of Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Jonah was unhappy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, the latter part of Jonah, you know, God said, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God even cared about the cattle. That's strange, isn't
it? Yeah, he did.
I not spare Jonah? Should they don't know what you know, Jonah. They don't know what you know.
Right.
Should not I spare? They repented. They did what changes a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the essence of everything I'm saying today is call upon God and save our nation.
Yeah.
Call upon God.
Yeah.
Remember, it's not just you. It's your children. It's your grandchildren.
That's
and
right.
Now I've got great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
And I think we have every right in the world, every biblical right in the world, no matter how sinful things are, to cry out to God and to see a mighty moving of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
The revival God gave us in 93 with Dr. Rodney Ard Brown, a very prominent Baptist in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I was talking to him a while after that, maybe several months, and we had a funeral, memorial service together, and he said, Pastor Bob, he said, that revival you had in 93, of course, it was God's revival, he said, it forced every evangelical Christian in the Metroplex to get on or get off as far as seeking God and having a revival. Well, that was a very humbling statement for my ears to hear.
Yeah.
But Dale, God's done it before. God can do it again.
He can do it again. And these,
wilt thou not revive that thy people may rejoice
in
thee?
That's right.
I'm a pastor. I'm called to be a pastor. I have a pastor's heart. And God anoints me to do field ministry whenever I go overseas or when I go out and to speak for conferences.
Mm-hmm.
But Dale, we've got to do what we do best, what you know and what I know, and even what any of the lay people listening to this broadcast today knows. We know enough to save a world.
Yeah.
We know enough to lead people to Jesus.
That's right.
It's time we cry out to God.
That's right.
And witness, win, and bring them in.
Yeah.
And instead of our churches being hothouse plants, hurry up, God, and get it over. Everything in the church world, field ministries are dying. Field ministries that sing are dying. The only service they have a hope to sing in or preach in is on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hurry up and get it on, get it off, and let's get out of here.
That's true. That's true.
Well, we better come back to basics.
We need to come back to basics. And I'm persuaded that, you know, the key lies with those who may be asleep in the bottom of the boat, and that is the pastors or leaders. And I've been, of course, encouraging for many years the pastors to say, you know, we got to say something. And when something is happening in our nation, we must say something. And we know that there's voices of opposition that want to quiet any voice. I know I heard yesterday that when the Supreme Court passed their recent ruling concerning same-sex marriage, that the mayor of one of the largest cities in America sent out word to every pastor that if they did not adhere to the new ruling, that they would be put in jail. And so we know that there is opposition to the mission, but I know that pastors must awaken. And so many want to be neutral. They don't want to say anything. But we must speak up. We must stay together. And like yourself, pastors must rise up and begin to intercede for their city. And we know that the entire congregation is under attack. But the Bible says, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will flee. So we know where the battle is, and that is to come against every pastor, every shepherd, every leader. And so, you know, we need to pray for them, but we need to pray that these pastors that are asleep in the bottom of the boat will wake up and speak the word of the Lord, call their congregation to repentance, call their city to repentance. And I believe that God will hear. He said he would, and heal our nation. And so, you know, we have...
Dale, go ahead. Do I have time to say one thing real quick?
Yeah, we have about 5 minutes. Go ahead and say that, and I want you to say a prayer.
I won't be long with it, but I just felt in my heart that God spoke to my heart. I even have some precious friends, and I hear this statement from time to time. Well, it doesn't make any difference who's in the White House. It does make a difference who's in the White House. I don't care who makes that statement. That is not an accurate statement. Everything rises or falls ultimately on leadership. We're $17 trillion in debt because of what's leading this nation right now. You know, but the thing that I would cry out to everyone, please cry out to God and pray that God will raise up the best leadership possible for these next elections. We don't need to start praying the week or the night before the election. We need to start praying right now. And it's not a thing of color. We can't let Satan divide us. We can't let Satan bring all this confusion together. But I just want to encourage everyone that's listening here today, start praying for God's choice, the best choice possible to run in the presidential time that's coming up. I know that's not all of it, but that's a big part of it.
That's not all of it.
I realize that.
Right.
But cry out to God for the kind of leadership
Absolutely.
That will not desecrate.
Absolutely.
And try to take scriptures off of every monument in Washington. Try to get rid of In God We Trust. Would get rid of the American flag if they could today, you know. God gave us this nation, and God help us to stand up again and sing, God save America.
That's right.
You know?
Well, Pastor,
thank you for letting everybody in on you there, but
I want you to
pray.
Yeah, why don't you pray, and however the Holy Spirit leads you, and I'll set myself in agreement.
Father, we thank you for this prophetic voice of Dale Gentry, and I just know that you're going to speak to people to send him a generous offering and to do whatever it takes to keep this prophetic voice speaking and voicing the truth. Now, Father, we join all of our faith together. Lord, it's not a time to hate. It's not a time to be divided. It's not a time to let color divide us even in any way, form, or fashion. But God, we cry out, now, raise up your leadership. Those that will be closest to being what you have called them to be for the next elections. Father, we just pray right now that the evil forces of hell will not win. In Jesus' name, we call this nation back to righteousness. We call the best leadership possible to be elected, Father. And we just thank you that the news media, you'll put a gag on the news media. You'll silence as much as possible the voices of ungodly people who have no respect for God, the Word of God, churches, Jesus Christ, or anything that's sacred. Father, we thank you that we are salt and we are light, and we will see victory in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, I agree. Pastor Bob Nichols, and your influence in this nation, nations of the world, is so very, very important. You know, you and I together, we have over 110 years of ministry, and just the two of us. And you know, I know that you and myself, we as we set ourselves in agreement, we are force, and I'm thankful that we can still stand for the truth. And I'm thankful for the influence that you have. I know that that you have had a tremendous voice in the political arena, and I know the governor came to the church and school to make a special announcement at Calvary Cathedral. I know that men like Rodney Howard Brown, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and David Barton, Dale Gentry, people all around look to you for have looked to you to build a relationship with you, look to you for leadership. And I'm so thankful for your voice, and I'm thankful that all of these years you're still praying. The church is still praying. They've been praying. And for 18 years, they prayed around the clock, 24 hours a day at the church. And now they're praying like, I don't know how many hours a day, maybe 16, 18 hours. But I'm so thankful for your voice of influence. And you've been on the radio, I understand now, for over 40 years.
Yes, that's right.
Daily radio.
While we still have about half a second left, I thank God for you and for your ministry. You and Gene have been a tremendous blessing to
thank
us
you.
Personally. And to our church and to the body of Christ, and how we thank God for that. And I thank God for having some of the finest spiritual friends and friends of America in the world. Joyce Myers has been in our church. Andrew Womack had a very strong statement on the decision, a very strong decision, words to say on the decision of the court.
Yeah.
So
I know that
thinking people are standing up, and thank God you're right in the middle of it.
Well, I'm delighted. I know that you're a vital part of Andrew Womack's ministry, along with Rodney Hart Brown and many others, David Barton. And I'm so glad that to have you on today. I know we've taken a lot of time, but
thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, it's been invaluable. It's been a very good day. And thank you for being the voice that we need, a voice of steadfastness, a voice of faith. And, you know, I want to look to people. I want to look to men that's been down the road a while. And we have a lot of people that are upstart, and they have some new ideas, new philosophies, new revelation. But I look to men like yourself and some other men that I'm in a relationship with, that throughout the years, they've just stayed on course. And their doctrine has been basically the same. They're still speaking, declaring what they started speaking many years ago. I think that's invaluable. I know there's a lot of people, they run from church to church looking for somebody that has a new revelation or a new gig going or a new thing going. And I don't want to sound disrespectful, but I'm so thankful that that there are men like yourself that are staying there, continuing to contribute to the kingdom and being a steadfast voice that we so desperately need. So thank you for being on the
God
broadcast today. And thank you for being my pastor. God bless you, Pastor Bob Nichols. And I do want to remind people that they can get the Soul Winner's Prayer, get more information by just going to calvarycathedral.org. I know that you have several books out that they could order, some materials. That's calvarycathedral.org. Thank you, Pastor Bob Nichols.
God bless you.
God bless you. Well, I trust that you've enjoyed the broadcast today. And our time with my pastor, Bob Nichols, Fort Worth, Texas. And our time has run out, but we're going to be back at this time tomorrow or any time as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. You have a great day. God bless you.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.